Welcome to Hero Hype, episode 11. This is Hypeable.com's superhero podcast for all of your superhero film and TV needs. I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And we have very special, I think I'm right in saying the first return guest to Hero Hype. Would that be correct? Yeah, what? We have the lovely Caitlin joining us again this week, expert on all things DC TV.
Well, maybe.
So, yeah, thank you so much for joining us this week. Of course, that's because we have so much to talk about in terms of The Flash and Arrow and everything that's going on there. So that's definitely going to be a big focus of today. And in terms of movies, you know, we have some stuff going on with Marvel. We have some X-Men news, so we'll be getting to all of that. And of course, as always, we'll be giving you our comic book recommendations. But before we do all of that, it's time for our brief history segment, where we give you the history of a character so that you know everything you need to know for whatever's coming up in film and TV. And this week, of course, inspired by The Flash, as in all things in our lives, we're going to tell you a little bit about the bad guy. We found out about the bad guy, and now we're going to tell you everything you need to know. So take it away, Danya.
Everything about you just became so unbelievably clear.
So, this is a brief history of Eobard Thawne. Eobard was born into the 25th century to parents who had engineered him genetically to be highly intelligent, though as he grew older, they became concerned with his lack of social skills. They eventually had a second son, Robin, who they hoped would help Eobard adjust socially. Eobard struggled to connect with his brother and often suffered from frustrated outbursts. Eobard eventually fell behind in his studies and was rejected in his application to study the Speed Force at the Flash Museum. When Eobard illegally began his own research, he was caught by his brother, who'd become an officer of the science police. A future version of Eobard travelled into the past to prevent Robin from being born, which changed his entire trajectory. This time accepted at the Flash Museum, he applied to research the Speed Force with Professor Drake, and, when he was refused, travelled through time and killed him. This moved him into another newly created timeline, where he was appointed a professor of the Flash Museum and earned him the nickname Professor Zoom. Though he was still unable to tap into the Speed Force, his concerned parents instigated the closure of the Flash Museum, but Eobard travelled in time to cause their deaths so he could continue his research uninterrupted. Longing for the heroic age of the 20th century, Eobard eventually developed an obsession with Barry Allen, the Second Flash. He worshipped him as a hero and friend, and Barry's life became as real to Eobard as his own. He even underwent surgery in order to look more like Barry. He came across Barry's cosmic treadmill in an antique store and killed the cashier to take it. After years, he managed to travel back in time to meet his idol, though he miscalculated and it landed Eobard several years after Barry's death. Whilst in the 20th century, Eobard learned that he was destined to become the Flash's greatest villain, which drove him mad. He eventually began to believe he was Barry and worked alongside Wally West for some time until the truth came out about his true identity. Wally managed to trick Eobard into returning to his own era during a showdown at the Flash Museum, which left him powerless and without his memories of his time in the 20th century, other than a deep hatred for Barry Allen.
Dude was messed up. All right, so
up.
Now we know everything we need to know. Let's talk about The Flash, because what the hell is going on this show? I can't believe that the episode that we got last week was not some kind of mid-season episode. It was just so weird to me that, like, we had all of these revelations and then, boom, an episode the next week. My brain did not quite know how to compute with that. So, Caitlin, as our guest of honor, why don't you tell us, what are you thinking about everything? What are we up to? What is happening?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
No pressure.
Yeah. No pressure at all. It's crazy, isn't it? Like, episode 15, and we know who he is, and we had time travel, and all this crazy stuff, and then we still have a season finale, and how are they going to top this in the season finale?
Seriously. We had basically every single reveal on this show. Am I right in saying that? Like, we had the Barry Iris kiss, We had the Eobard reveal. We had Sisko's death. We need to talk about that. We had the captain gets, like, electrocuted. And then what else is going on? Oh, and, of course, Iris finds out that Barry is a Flash. Like, everything that could happen. And then, of course, we're like, whoa, that episode was exhausting. And then in the last, like, 15 seconds, no, there's time travel. Actual time travel happens. So I was a bit worried, I have to say, going into the next episode by being like, oh, like, you know, it's the good and bad thing of time travel where, you know, they can do all of the reveals and then they can take them all back. So I really like kind of where this goes, where they're talking about all the repercussions, and I'm curious to see how that will continue through the next episodes, because I don't think it's going to stop in this one. But I'm mighty glad that Sisko survived. So sad, guys. I love Sisko so much. I've well documented my love.
Cry 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
It was very upsetting, even in the second week.
Yeah, he's killing it at the moment, though. Ha ha ha. I loved seeing more of his family as well. That was real fun this week.
And his brother was like, oh, I told your crush you wanted to be a priest. Yeah.
I know. It's like, you think that you have a jerk sibling. Like, just check out their family.
Oh, man.
Okay, so let's start with... Should we start with Thorn? We'll kind of work our way through some of these.
Yeah.
I feel like this was a pretty popular theory. This, you know, I don't think his identity was maybe a super exciting reveal. It was exciting that it happened so early in the season, you know, because I guess we all assumed like that would be a season finale kind of moment. I don't know. Were people's minds blown by this?
Not especially. I don't think it was completely out of the realms of possibility that this is where they could have gone with it. I think it's really, really interesting that it comes back and it comes back with a bang, and it's like, okay, we're just going to drop all of this stuff on you and we're going to spend the rest of this season, I guess, dealing with the fallout. I'm terrified for the season finale, especially considering that I learned today through editing an article on Hyperbole that they're taking the Vampire Diaries off air in order to be able to rerun a load of Flash episodes from the start of the season leading up to where we are right now to catch people up or give people a jumping back in point, which is terrifying for me because it makes me feel like, oh, if they're doing that, something massive has to be coming.
Well, hopefully something massive is coming anyway though, right? Like, yeah. Who wants to sit through a season finale and you're like, yawn. Could do without it. Like, not necessary.
Yeah. I'm sure it doesn't hurt that The Flash is the highest rated show on the network.
Exactly.
The Vampire Diaries ratings are just, like, plummeting.
Yeah, I didn't even know Vampire Diaries was still a thing, so there we go. What can I say? All right, so, I mean, is that where they're going? Like, we just heard all of his backstory. There was an interesting interview from after episode 15 with the Flash bosses, and they were talking about his character and, you know, what we know about Wells and now sort of what we can infer about Thorn. And I thought it was really interesting, like, they were saying he's not this, like, moustache-twirling villain, which I feel like sometimes he kind of comes across that way, you know, especially with the wheelchair and everything. Like, you're like, is all of this really necessary? You know, it seems like a lot of sort of theatrics sometimes, but I found it really interesting what they were saying. So, you know, I don't know. What do we think this means, like, going forward for The Flash?
And something in that interview that interested me the most was they said we're going to start seeing interactions between Eddie and Wells. So I'm intrigued by how they're going to deal with that, because Thawne, like, Eddie was like, call him a distant relative. So,
right. So who is Eddie?
Yeah. So we saw, like, in this week's episode, Eddie, like, decks Barry at one point. So he's clearly got a little bit something boiling underneath the surface. And if Iris eventually does turn to Barry, which she's going to at some point, clearly, that could push him to be more evil. And in the Paley Fest trailer they showed, there is some of that going on. So there's some interesting things there. So I'm curious to see how Eddie and Wells are going to interact and what brings them together to actually interact.
Yeah, definitely. Same.
Oh, God. That's going to be really interesting. I think the thing that The Flash is getting so, so right for me is just the interactions between the characters and their relationships, and even sometimes, like, unlikely ones as well. So I think seeing how Wells and Eddie kind of come together and what that'll lead to, that's incredibly fascinating. And, like, could you imagine what would happen if they eventually turn into, like, a supervillain team-up on this show? Like, that would be so, so interesting to see Eddie kind of go from, I guess, almost one extreme being, like, someone who's part of law enforcement and someone you're supposed to trust to uphold the law and serve and protect the people, to almost, like, a complete 180 where he's then kind of going against all that, and what would drive him to that sort of thing. I mean, maybe even something that Wells could reveal about Eddie's life, you know, that would be kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, perhaps. Although I think I agree with Caitlin. It's probably likely to hinge on some sort of romantic turmoil, as most things in these shows do. Let's talk about that then. I mean, I can't be the only person who really isn't on board with this Barry Iris train. I just don't feel it at all. It's kind of like the start of Arrow with Laurel, where you're like, yeah, I know what happens in the comics, but I like Caitlin. I still like Barry with Caitlin. I like Caitlin with everyone. She's fantastic. But I don't know, that reveal was somewhat lackluster for me, I have to say. I was more interested in the reveal that he was a Flash to her versus, like, oh, romance. Is that just me?
No, I think, definitely not you.
I mean, I just think the romance is the least interesting aspect of the show, because they do so many other interesting things that are completely firing on full cylinders, like the friendships and, like, the family dynamics and the family that has been created with Barry and the Wests and the Star Labs team. Like, those
and
relationships
travel.
So well done that I just don't care about the romance, honestly. It's just like, well, we know they get together in the comic book, so why do I care? I'm far more interested in, you know, Barry forgiving Cisco for revealing his identity and all this other stuff. Way more interesting dynamics to be explored.
So do we think we're going to see some of these reveals later on in the in this season before you get to the finale? Which ones do we think we're going to see? Or any, if we think they're still going to come?
I think they have to know that Wells is the Reverse Flash by the end of the season.
Yeah, I think, we've definitely been set up for that from the end of... I really like that it's Barry who has the suspicions now. I think that's a fun twist on it, because, you know, it was getting a little sick of Barry being like, guys, but he's the best, leave him alone. He's so great, I love him. You're like, okay, Barry, just chill out.
And you can see how conflicted he was when he tells, like, when he's seeing the news story, like, pop up on the monitor, and he's, like, talking to Wells, and then when he tells Barry, or when he tells Joe, he believes him, like, he's like, this guy has been so good to me, and has been so supportive of me.
Right.
But I cannot ignore the evidence. I'm a scientist. So I think that's another dynamic that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and I love that he goes straight to Joe with it. Like, he's not... like, oh, I don't know, maybe I'll have a think about it. You know, the Barry and Joe relationship is one I'm so invested in, as you said before. Like, I think that's one of the most interesting dynamics for me on the show. I love that sort of father-son, but sort of friends, but sort of relatives, but kind of bros, like, thing that they've got going on. and I just love that he's like, I can take this to Joe, like, straight away. And Joe's not going to be like, I told you so, like, oh, like, they'll, you know, deal with it together, and they'll be like a team, and it'll be so fun. And what about the reveal of Barry's identity, though? So we saw in the most recent episode that my favorite person, Gold, now knows that Barry is the Flash. Guys, his accent is so bad. Like, I can't get over it. What voice is he doing? Is that how he actually talks? That can't be his actual voice.
Yeah, that's how he talks.
He's so ridiculous.
That's amazing.
It's,
I kind of, yeah. When Captain Cold came up, I was like, oh, Marim is going to be so happy.
Yeah, I can't explain what it is about him that I find, like, more ridiculous than the other villains on The Flash, but I think it's that, like, his stupid goggles and, like, that hood that he wears around and just, oh, now he's got his crazy sister in tow with his pyro friend. Like, it's all good times. But did Barry do the right thing by letting him go? Like, you know, can he be trusted, this guy?
He kind of had to.
Well, I mean, he didn't have to. Like, you know.
I mean, if there's going to be a spin-off show, though, he kind of
They're like, well, I can't hold on to you now because I heard you're moving to a different TV show. My bad. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, their agreement was basically like, oh, okay, you can steal whatever you want, but please stop killing people. And he was like, oh, I guess I could do that. And Barry's like, oh, well, we're sweet then. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
I mean, I guess that's what they're moving towards, the dynamic Flash has with his role.
Mm-hmm.
Gentleman's agreement of, you do you, I'll do me, just don't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
We'll kind of have our mutual respect thing going. So I think that's kind of what they're moving toward, which is a fun dynamic. It's so different than anything you get on, like, Arrow. So it's just kind of fun to be like, dude knows my name.
Yeah.
Dude's not going to do anything with it. We're just going to go with it.
Yeah. Everyone's just chill.
It's fun to play off. He always has that in his back pocket if he needs to pull it out. And mm-hmm. Barry knows that. But Cold knows that, and Cold knows that Barry knows. It just becomes a funny back and forth.
Yeah, it's very friends. Like, they know that we know that they know. Is, I don't know if I'm the only person who's seen that. Anyway, all right. I feel like, we're feeling good about The Flash in general. Like, I am just loving this season so much. I'm loving it, and I'm not loving Arrow so much. And I feel like maybe they've prioritized Flash a bit more than Arrow, because this season of Arrow is not good. It's just, it's not great. Like, it's all right, and, you know, I'm still watching it, and I'm not going to stop watching it, but it's lacking somewhat, and I think that's because the Flash is really, really killing it at the moment. These last couple episodes of Arrow, let's talk about them really quick. So we have Oliver's, like, dealing with, I guess, the league's, like, peer pressure to join up. And we had the wedding, and, like, Ray and Oliver had a confrontation, and his Iron Man suit didn't work, and, like, everything's happening. So any thoughts, Caitlin, on what we're up to with Arrow?
I mean, I agree it's not the greatest that it's been, but... And The Flash is just wonderful. So it is kind of counter to each other in a bit. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate the last couple episodes. I've been very frustrated with Oliver a lot of this season. He's very condescending and, like, trying to control everyone around him. And it's been very hard to root for him. But I thought he redeemed himself a little bit in this last episode. Like, he was pretty bad at the beginning, but then at the end, he sort of reeled it back a little bit, like, okay, I need to chill. They clearly have a thing for each other, and I just need to back off, which was, I liked that, but I'm still not sure how I feel about the whole Oliver should become Ra's al Ghul thing. Like, that's so random.
Yeah, and he still has not even mentioned Nyssa once, which bothers me extremely.
But so, Nyssa training Laurel is everything I've ever wanted. So
yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
If we could just see it on screen, that would be great. Rather than like, oh, what? This, whatever. When I first saw her at the wedding, I was like, is she wearing a Madonna glove? Like a one netted, like, black glove? Before I realized, oh, no, that's a cast. It's okay. I was like, Laurel, I did not think that of you. speak of condescending, though, like, Ray was the most condescending asshole in this episode. I hate him so much. Like, I can only deal with one condescending douchebag white dude at one time. And sorry, Ray, but Oliver's kind of got that locked up. So he needs to get on over to that spin-off show ASAP.
I like Ray. He was bad in this episode, but then he realized he was being an ass and kind of stopped. I don't know. I like him. I think there's this kind of underlying sadness to him because of all these people that he's lost, and he's trying to do what he thinks is a good thing, and he's running into these roadblocks. Like, he does the right thing and going to the authorities with his information, and then he gets stonewalled by Laurel and is like, I see, you're also a vigilante. Okay, guess I gotta do it myself. So I don't entirely blame him, because where else can he go with this at this point?
True. Although I love Laurel, like, being not at all subtle about her, like, arrow allegiance while being in the DA's office. Like, that's very handy for them to finally, I guess they kind of needed that with Lance being on his new sort of mission to take down vigilantes again. So they kind of need that. And I like at the end where they're fighting, the mayor's like, be quiet, both of you. Like, obviously this is an ongoing argument that, like, she's just so over. So,
I also like how Oliver didn't seem to care that Roy got electrocuted in that
fight.
And he
just,
like,
hell?
Walks off. Like,
Is
Roy still, like, lying in a puddle? Like,
I was thinking that exact same thing. I was like, way to look out for your people, Oliver. Jesus. Actually, the thing that made me laugh hardest in this was when they're at the wedding and all of their phones go off. Like, what, I have Google Alerts set or something?
Yeah. I love their vows at the wedding. That was the greatest thing. Like,
oh, they were the worst.
Do this? Hell yeah.
That was
like, you were adorable. I love you.
Oh, so bad. Okay. I guess a little bit about that episode then. Like, did we like the flashbacks? I kind of like when the flashbacks aren't Oliver themed. It gives us a break. Was it a little too heavy-handed? Perhaps, but you know, I quite like Deadshot. I don't know about you guys.
I like Deadshot. I like it when they take some time away from Oliver as well, because especially at the moment, I'm still, like, getting ridiculously frustrated with Oliver as a character to the point where I just want to shake him really, really hard. So, you know, taking just even a little bit of time away to kind of calm me back down again, that's always a thumbs up right now in my books. So, yeah, and I think the whole, like, Suicide Squad thing is really fascinating anyway. So anytime they focus a little bit more on those characters and give us a different dynamic with it, that's always really, really cool.
I liked the flashbacks. They kind of gave more insight into why Deadshot might be weirdly invested in Diggle getting back to his family. Because Diggle's sort of, like, having the chance to do everything right that he did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to give him that chance, which is a weirdly fascinating dynamic after he killed his brother.
Yeah. Yeah, their relationship is super fascinating. Like, well, I don't know if you can call it a relationship. But whatever, their interactions are always very interesting. And, you know, I never loved Diggle as much as everyone else seemed to, like, I don't know why. I was like, oh, yeah, like, he's cool, but I don't know. Everyone was like, no, he's the best. He's the best thing ever. He's been growing on me so much lately, and I feel like maybe that's because I'm just so anti-Oliver and anti, like, everyone else on this show. But him, especially at the wedding, when he meets Ray, I was like, yeah, go, Diggle, go. Okay, so, all right. Let's talk a little bit. We mentioned the spin-off that is, like, the weirdest spin-off to ever be made ever in the history of television. I don't think that's an overstatement at this point, considering the lineup. So we had a little bit more news. Dominic Purcell, who plays our favorite Pyro, Heat Wave, of course, is going to be joining. I think, you know, we sort of assumed that from the start because the two of them really need each other because no one else wants to make, like, terrible puns about temperature with them, so they kind of need to hang out.
Captain Cold and Friends.
Yeah. Yes, can't wait for that to premiere. And then and we also had, there was an interview with the executive producer of Arrow and the Flash, and they were talking a little bit about sort of what we can expect from the series. And what they said that I thought was interesting was that it's going to be sort of similar to the crossover episodes we've seen, where it kind of feels like an event, except all the time. So, all right, cool.
One thing I brought up with Marimo when we were texting back and forth after the end of the last episode that we recorded is I started thinking more about how they might be able to get Sarah to work in this spin-off. And I actually was reminded of this today when I saw some people tweeting out images from what they're assuming is the finale of either The Flash or Arrow, which feature Oliver and Barry. And Oliver's costume is very interesting, but unless you want those kinds of spoilers, I won't tell you exactly what for. But my theory kind of started to become that, you know, they're really, really interested in crossing over these two universes a lot, so Flash and Arrow. So what if Barry kind of in the finale of either of the shows does something else with his time travel that kind of changes things up in both series? So it was something I thought, and that's what could change things in terms of Sarah, and possibly depending on what we get towards the Arrow finale, depending on what course Oliver takes, obviously, or what happens with Roz, if it reverses that as well. I mean, there's massive repercussions that could be had across both The Flash and Arrow that could then change how things with the spin-off works as well. So it was just a theory I was kind of bandying about with Marima a little earlier this week that kind of, yeah, I saw those images and was like, oh, maybe we do have a little bit more crossover still to come.
I could see that. I mean, yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but I just don't like the idea of, I don't like it anyway. Like, I don't think it works with Sarah because I love Sarah. Caitlin is the queen of the Sarah fan club, I should say, before we even start this conversation. I love Sarah. She's my favorite character, I think, from this. No, she's definitely my favorite character from this entire universe. And as I think I said last time, like, I just feel like it's a lose-lose where if you bring her back, like, you're sort of making her whole character arc, like, you know, you're taking her back, and it sort of makes everything that happened sort of irrelevant, and I feel like that does a disservice to her character. And then if the actress is playing someone else, then again, like, sort of does a disservice to her character. So, look, I give them the benefit of the doubt to prove me wrong, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm not feeling super excited about it. I don't know. Caitlin, what do you think? As the reigning queen of the fan club, what's the current feeling on this situation?
I mean, my thought is that however they bring Sarah back, that because there's just no way they cast that actress to have her play somebody else. That makes zero sense. Mm-hmm. In this world, that I don't think bringing her back undermines anything because her death was such a waste of, and it had nothing to do with her. So I feel like she had no closure as a character. And for Laurel, if it affects her at all, then it is saying you need to find your own reason to fight for yourself instead of for your sister, which can only be a positive for her. So I don't see it undermining anything. I only see it being a positive, bringing back one of these characters that had such a wasted death and actually moving forward with her, because there was a lot of story left to tell with that character.
very true. I could possibly be convinced. All right, let's wrap it up for DC TV. We could talk about this, I feel like, for hours, but, you know, we might start losing people's interest. So make sure you guys let us know what you're thinking of The Flash and Arrow. You were definitely tweeting us after the first episode of The Flash aired. Thank you for those hysterical tweets. That's a very accurate description of some of the things you send us. You can tweet us at Hero Hype Podcast, and we are always happy to read those. I know some of you saying, because we don't have an episode every week, then, you know, we don't talk about, like, we had to talk about the two episodes at once, but that's good. Just send us on Twitter what you think, and, like, we'll get to it all. Don't even worry about it. And we're just going to talk very briefly about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Caitlin is not a fan, but now we had a news story. This was before the last episode had aired, and the story was that Lucy Lawless was going to be coming back as Agent Isabel Hartley. That's going to be in next week's episode, and everyone was wondering, like, how could this happen? Because, you know, they actually showed her funeral, unlike many other deaths where, like, did they die? We don't know. We didn't see a body. Like, no, they definitely showed her funeral. But I feel like we got the answer in the most recent episode when Agent 13 returns. Is it 13? 33. Agent 33. Yeah. When she returns with her weird, like, face duplicating mask thing. So, like, is that where this is going? I'm assuming that she's going to be impersonating her or something. That was my assumption.
I think it's entirely likely that that's the direction they're going in. I mean, think about what that could do to someone like Hunter and to, like, some of the other people like Coulson and like, the other agents as well. I mean, that could really mess them up pretty badly and put them on the back foot almost and give them almost a tactical advantage if they kind of come at them with that. So I think it would be a very interesting way to bring her back. Again, talk about character that they kind of gave an almost unnecessary death to and too soon.
Yeah. But, talk about wasting Lucy Lawless. Jeez.
Exactly. Come on, S.H.I.E.L.D. But, you know, it would be interesting to see her back, whether it's as herself or whether it's Agent 33 as Isabel. Yeah. It would be kind of cool to see whether or not, if it is Agent 33, she'll be able to fool Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That would be quite interesting to see how easily she'd be able to kind of, I guess, almost mimic Isabel.
Yeah.
So, well,
can we talk about how creepy it was when she put on Sky's face?
I just think the entire thing is creepy.
I didn't realize that this was, like, comedians of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I guess it was when she says, like, but you seem so well-adjusted to Ward, like, number one psychopath in the world. I was like, oh, yeah, he's real well-adjusted. Yeah, he's fine. And the major reveal that we had was that S.H.I.E.L.D. is the secret organization that Bobby and Mac are working for because they don't like the direction that Coulson is taking them. And I feel like this is a really interesting twist kind of for the series because, you know, we had S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Hydra when it's very clear, like, Hydra is the bad guy, S.H.I.E.L.D. is the good guys. It's interesting to see this a little more nuanced because I think they went to some extremes in the most recent episode to show kind of the other S.H.I.E.L.D.'s point in terms of, like, Coulson's secrecy and all of that. And also, you know, the presence of Bobby there is, I think, meant to make us as the audience question, like, we've been set up to really trust Bobby. I mean, ironically, as she's, like, the world's best double agent. But, you know, we've sort of been set up to trust her judgment and her judgment on characters. So if she's involved in this, then I think we're meant to feel, well, maybe they kind of have a point. But at the same time, like, Bobby always has an angle, so who even knows what side she is on. Still don't like Mac, still love Hunter. Sky's in a cabin in the woods. May doesn't trust anyone. That's basically what we're up to in terms of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Did, Did you really, really like the little bit of Steve Rogers' headcanon that we got? Like, the little drop of knowledge there that it was like, oh, he got to spend a little bit of time in Nick Fury's super-powered cabin.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm sure he loved that. Although I feel like he probably would have been like, all right, like, fishing, like, let's do these things.
I'm starting to wonder now, because I know there was that that little clip that we got of Steve and Tony aggressively like chopping wood in like in a farm-ish kind of area. I'm wondering, is it that cabin? Are we going to see that cabin return? Is that where they are rather than
Hawkeye's farm?
No. Don't take that away from me, Marvel.
I'm assuming that they're in Hawkeye's farm, but time will tell. Meanwhile, Ward is back and the world hates me, apparently. So that's what's going on S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, we will keep an eye on that going forward as well. All right, let's talk about movies. There isn't a whole lot going on this week. It's been a pretty quiet week in terms of news. But, you know, we'll run through some of these things. So first of all, Jennifer Lawrence has announced that after X-Men Apocalypse, she is finished with Mystique. Possibly surprising some people because there was talk of a Mystique spin-off sort of solo film, but sounds like that will not be happening. So is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Do we wish we would get more Mystique, or are we sort of over the whole thing?
I kind of like Mystique as a character. I mean, she's a really interesting character in general. I don't necessarily think that it means that if Jennifer Lawrence is no longer playing her, that we've seen the last of Mystique. Because obviously with the way that she can shift in terms of her appearance, it could even be that, like, maybe when we return to Mystique again, she may be aged up. Or, like we are seeing with a lot of the casting at the moment for X-Men Apocalypse, we may end up eventually seeing either a younger Mystique or... Yeah, again, we could flash further into the future. Who knows what they're going to do after X-Men Apocalypse with the characters. So it's entirely possible we could end up coming back to an older Mystique, which means they'll just recast.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to do a solo film without Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, no. Not a solo movie. I just don't think, in terms of the X-Men movies in general, that we've seen the last of Mystique.
Oh, sure. Caitlin, are you an X-Men fan?
I have seen the movies.
That was a very unenthusiastic sort of, yes, well, I know they exist.
I've seen the movies and I like them, but I don't have a lot of knowledge outside of that realm.
Have you been enjoying the sort of reboot version of them, or do you like the older ones more?
I barely remember the older ones. That's the best. So I'm all loving the newer ones, yeah.
Yeah, all right. And now we also had another little piece of X-Men news, which is that they've added a Jubilee actress who will be played by Lana Condor. She is sort of unknown, so this will be her first big role. So nothing to really judge her off, but I'm sure it'll be great because all of the other casting has been pretty exciting. Talking about casting Spider-Man, we can't get away from it. Turns out Marvel secretly auditioned, is it Matthias? I feel like that's how you say it. Matthias Ward, who you may know from Weeds. He's only 16 years old, and apparently he could be our Spider-Man in Captain America Civil War. So, I don't know. I mean... He just looks like young sort of Logan Lerman to me, but all right, great.
Oh, God knows what they're doing with this. No one knows.
They don't know.
They don't know. Nobody knows. We're getting a different story every single week. It's either young and white, or then we get like Miles thrown back into the ring. Then, I don't know, it's Dylan O'Brien again, which those rumors came back around about a week and a half ago again.
Mm-hmm.
So they've resurfaced. I don't know where they came from again, but there are some people who reportedly have sources But again, you don't know who does have the true information or not. And again, they're saying, like, Dylan O'Brien's definitely got the role. And it's like, can they just tell us and put us out of the misery of going around in this massive circus of who does, who doesn't have it? It's like Schrodinger's spider.
It wouldn't be Sony if it wasn't a total train wreck of publicity. Like, let's be real. So it's not totally unexpected. I feel like the Dylan O'Brien rumors, they are the most persistent. So I would not be at all surprised if he turns out to be the one. But we'll find out. Who knows? At some point, like, whatever leaks will be the real thing. And then, also in sort of related Marvel news, we had some more footage from Age of Ultron with the new TV spot. And, you know, we won't talk about this in, like, super detail because it did come out a little while ago now. But, you know, we finally saw, I guess, this sort of showed really the most significant new footage compared to, like, the trailers, which are fairly similar to each other. Have you watched this, by the way?
I have.
Oh, Caitlin, what do you think about this? Tell us your thoughts.
I think it's super exciting and it looks really good. Every trailer gets me more excited. And Hawkeye actually had a line.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes, we were talking about how on the last episode of Hero Hype that, like, I saw this great thing on Tumblr where it was like a gift set of all the Avengers with the lines they've said in the trailers, and Hawkeye just had a whole lot of question marks over his face.
I saw that one.
So finally, he can be there. I liked seeing Thor use Cap's shield as, like, his new weapon. I thought that was quite fun.
That was a pretty sweet move.
Yeah, he's got some skills. And
then Cap threw a motorcycle. Like,
yeah,
that was cool, too.
Why not? Why not? I guess we're starting to see also, like, a bit of, I don't know, is this the start of the sort of Civil War, like, Cap-Iron Man tension at the start of this, or is that just, like, the continued mild aggression that they have towards each other?
I'd imagine it's more of the continued stuff that will fester and build into the Civil War stuff.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll keep eyes out. They also released these, like, weird fun facts about the Avengers characters, and it's just funny to me that the one people seem most excited about is that Hulk's going to get his stretchy pants. Finally. Like, okay, great. That's super exciting. I don't know. This was such a weird promotional thing. I don't really know. Like, it's just stuff. Like, it's basically we redesigned the costumes, or we redesigned the weapons, or we redesigned Avengers Tower or whatever, and here's some information about it. So,
no way I would be able to tell if I looked at the screen.
Right. Yeah, thank you so much for pointing that out. So I don't know, we will keep eyes out on that. I guess it's fast approaching now, May 1st. It's yeah, wow. That's like a month away. That's crazy.
Yeah, just over a month. That's getting close.
That's insanely close. I totally forgot about that. All right. And then I guess sort of continuing the Avengers news for a second, we also had confirmation that the Russo brothers are going to be directing Infinity War, which we basically knew already. Like, you know, it was one of those rumors that everyone was like, well, yeah, duh. So, yes, they are definitely signed on to direct parts one and part two rather than Joss Whedon, which, again, we knew he wasn't going to be doing it. So they sort of seem like the likely choice. Did you like Winter Soldier, Caitlin?
I did. I thought it was really good.
So are you excited to see them take on the Avengers as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many extra moving pieces to the Avengers, so I think seeing how they do Civil War will tell us a lot about how they'll be able to handle the Avengers, and if they handle Civil War really well, then that's going to tell us that their Avengers will be really good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that will definitely be the test of my patience and also their abilities. So We will find out. All right, and then final Marvel news for this week. We got the official synopsis of Captain America Civil War, which, I mean, is basically what we knew it was going to be and what we thought it was going to be. And confirmation that filming is going to start in April, which, again, there were those rumors that we basically knew that that's what was happening. So it's just exciting that's all happening. You know, it's all coming together. And, of course, once filming starts, then hopefully we might get a few more sneak peeks from the set, which will be very exciting. So, yeah, we will find out. I can't even talk about this in depth because, like, it just makes me crazy. Just makes my brain hurt and explode. So, you know what? Like, I've talked about this on probably every single episode of Your Hype. If you want to hear me complain about Civil War, there are plenty of avenues to do so. But I'll give you guys a little break for this week, and we won't even get Donya started on it because
please don't.
Yes, I know. I know that's exactly where that will go. All right, that's really it for movie news. Like I said, there wasn't a whole lot happening this week, but one other little thing was we saw our first look from Batman vs. Superman of Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. And he looks, you know, pretty creepy. He looks bald, like he ticks the boxes.
That's what I was gonna say. He looks bald. Yes, he does.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I took from it. I was like, it's just a bald Jesse Eisenberg. That's it. I was like,
right,
not so much of a big reveal.
Well, I guess it's exciting because we really have not seen very much from this film at all. Which, you know, I mean, I guess it's not coming out till 2016, so it kind of makes sense. But it is also like the one that a lot of people have their eye on. So hopefully that means we'll be getting a bit more from them soon, but who knows? We will keep eyes on it anyway. All right, that's really it. So it's time for our quotes of the week.
Oh my God, you ever shut up, pal?
No, not when I'm awake.
Caitlin, why don't you start us off?
So I choose a quote from the most recent episode of The Flash. It was Dr. Wells talking to Cisco. He says, "The reason that we all want you to stay is that we love you too. Now, I am not a parent, but in many ways you have shown me what it's like to have a son." And I chose this because it was this really eerie echo of what he said in the episode before when he had his vibrating arm in Cisco's chest.
Yes. So isn't it awkward when someone puts their vibrating arm in your chest?
Yeah.
Man, I hate when that happens.
So one episode he's telling him, "You are like a son to me," and then murders him. And in the next episode, he's like, "Please stay. You are like a son to me." I'm like, I'm so creeped out by this scene. It was really good, though.
It was good. Traumatizing, but good. And I think that's another thing The Flash gets does so well, is just echoes of things, which we may actually see more of now that they're doing time travel, is as things kind of change between episodes, as time traveling happens, we may see echoes of conversations happening in different ways, which is going to be really, really cool.
Definitely. Donya, why don't you go next?
So Gemma is still on her crazy train on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And after she goes off on one, being like, "Oh, Sky has changed, you know, this whole thing has changed her and I'm trying to fix her." And Fitz basically just goes, "You know what the scariest change is, Gemma? It's you." And I just thought, boom, Fitz.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Just perfect. Because I'm actually genuinely terrified of Gemma Simmons at the moment. Just in general as a character. Like, we all knew that the Inhumans reveal was going to change people. And we've talked about it a little bit already on previous episodes. But, like, it's scary how something like that can really, really change a person. But then I'm still wondering if the kind of Hydra sort of programming that they may or may not have done on Gemma has stuck.
Oh,
so
that is interesting. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, so I'm starting to think that maybe she's not as unaffected by her undercover mission as we've currently been led to believe, and that may be something that might come to light the closer to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finale that we get.
Yeah, that would be interesting, especially as we just saw in the most recent episode, they sort of went back to that idea of the compliance. So we shall see. All right, my quote of the week goes to Caitlin, actually. Caitlin very kindly live-tweeted The Flash and Arrow over on our Hero Hype Twitter, which is Hero Hype Podcast, so that you guys could have some little insights into what she was thinking about the episodes before she came on. And Caitlin wins the quote of the week for Barry says, "I always act weird." And Caitlin says, "Well, you're not wrong, Barry." And I laughed out loud. So, yeah, Caitlin definitely wins it. Definitely wins it this week. And thank you again for tweeting that out. I know that a lot of people were really enjoying your insights. So it's always a fun time to have you as our guest live tweeter. And now it's time for Comic Corner, where we give you recommendations based on a character that you like or someone who's come to prominence in TV or film. And this week, we have taken one of your suggestions.
Sky, Trip, get ready for a large file transfer.
How large?
So, Janya, what do you have for us today?
So, on Twitter, we were asked by Ningji, who is at Fresby, who said, "Not sure if you still take suggestions." We do, spoiler alert. "But I'm absolutely in love with Lady Sif after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Any comic recs based on her? Thanks." Well, yes, there are some comic book recs that I have based on her. The first one I've got for you is Sif number one. This is a one-shot by Miss Marvel helmer Kelly Sue DeConnick, and it follows the repercussions of Loki possessing her during the Dark Reign run at Marvel. It sees Sif come to terms with her loss of control and follows her as she lifts herself back up from her lowest point and into battle again. This one-shot is also collected in Mighty Marvel Women of Marvel, which highlights some other beloved comic book ladies like Rescue, Valkyrie, and Firestar. The next one I've got for you is Journey into Mystery, featuring Sif Volume 1, Stronger Than Monsters. That's a bit of a mouthful. But this collects the first five issues following Kid Loki's departure from Journey into Mystery and highlights Sif as more than just a warrior woman, though she is cursed with a berserker spell. It offers an interesting look at how a normal Asgardian lives when they aren't, well, Thor. So for anyone wanting to experience more sides to Lady Sif, this is a must read. Next one I've got is Essential Thor Volume 4. God, that's a tongue twister. Though not a solo Sif title, this 70s comic follows Loki leading a resistance against Odin, which eventually leads Loki to taking the throne a la the Dark World. While Thor is understandably the main focus of the story, Sif has some incredibly pivotal moments that really were a credit to her character. Next is Thor Visionaries, Walter Simonson, Volume 2. Lady Sif teams up with Beta Ray Bill during the war against Surta in this Thor title, and Walter Simonson shows us that there is more to Asgard than just Thor. Sif and Beta Ray Bill head to Earth for their part in this title, and expands on her character as being more than just Thor's on-again, off-again girlfriend. And lastly, I've got Thor, Son of Asgard, Volume 1, The Warriors Team. If you enjoyed watching or hearing about the exploits of The Warriors 3, plus Sif and Loki during the first Thor movie, this is definitely the series for you. It follows teenage Thor, Sif, and Baldur across Asgard, and there's an interesting look at the early relationship between these characters. And it, as always, features some Loki-styled mischief.
All right, so we all have our homework, and you can report back, Ning, if you check some of those out and let us know. If you have a character that you would like some comic book recommendations, just ask us, either on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast or in the comments on this post on hyperball.com. We always love having your suggestions or your questions, and, you know, we get Donya to work on them. So, what have you been telling us on Twitter? We had, I'm very pleased to see the amount of Ward hatred that came through after the most recent episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sarah said, okay, honestly, why so much Ward on the recent S.H.I.E.L.D. episode? And Danny said, I didn't think it was possible, but Ward has managed to achieve an amazingly new level of creepiness. And you are both totally spot on. Yeah, the interactions between 33 and Ward, and just like Ward and people in general, and just Ward existing. I could have done without him, to be honest. So yes, thank you guys for reaffirming my faith in all of you. Then over in terms of the Flash, we had an interesting tweet. Donya, did you want to get that one?
Yes, Madge. Our ever kind of diligent listener said to us, can we take a minute to theorize about what this episode meant for Eddie? Because I'm thinking Cobalt Blue.
Yes. So that's like the evil twin sort of storyline that goes on in the Flash. I don't like those kinds of storylines, I have to say. It's kind of like clones for me, like evil twins. I don't know. But do we think it could go in this direction? I think probably, yeah. Maybe without the actual twin part, please.
Yeah, I think it's entirely likely. Yeah. I think they'll probably, if they do, they're probably going to put spin on it. So, yeah. I think it's going to be a wait and see thing, because there's so many things that could happen at this point. So, yeah.
Caitlin, do you have any, like, particular theories about what is happening with Eddie, or like who Eddie could be?
I mean, I know it's, I think it's pretty clear they're gonna groom him to go dark at some point, but I've got nothing in terms of who he could be.
All right, so that is something we are all waiting to find out. It's always fun when they introduce these like new characters. It's kind of like Wells was, and we're all like, well, we know it's got to be someone, but like, who is it? Who could it be?
I'm kind of fascinated because Eddie just has so little personality that it'll be nice for him to have some.
Just like any personality would be an increase. So
when he punched Barry, that was personality. Yeah. That was good. Then he apologized for it.
Yeah, he was walking with personality and talking with personality. In the immortal words. All right, and then back on episode 10, we were talking about a whole range of things, but especially Spider-Man and sharing some frustrations about it. We had a comment, Toonie Chopper said, absolutely deranged crackpot theory. Peter Parker comes forward to register and gets dragged into the Civil War. All the stuff that happens to him in the comics happens, but at the end of the movie, Peter Parker is killed in the final battle. Miles Morales witnesses his death and becomes a Spider-Man of the Sony movies. Yeah, I got to agree with you. It's definitely a crackpot theory. They're not going to kill a 16-year-old. So if that's the direction they're going, like, that's not going to happen. But I would kind of be on board with this as a direction.
I actually don't think it's a bad idea.
I think it's a great idea. I just don't think they'll do it.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not. I mean, obviously, Civil War ends with, like, the death of Captain America, so it would be kind of interesting to see if they changed it up. Instead of being the death of Captain America, it's the death of Spider-Man, which would then change the entire trajectory of his, like, solo movies. But, yeah, it's very likely not going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, Caitlin, while you're here, let me do a little poll of your opinions. What do you think about Spider-Man in general? Like, you may have noticed the slight level of frustration with him amongst the regular hero hypers. have you seen all the Spider-Man movies, first of all?
I haven't seen the second Amazing Spider-Man movie. Okay. But I've seen all the others.
And do you prefer Maguire or Garfield?
I grew up with the Tony... Tobey Maguire one, so I have to give it to Tobey Maguire.
Okay. And are you excited to see Spider-Man come into the Marvel movies in some capacity?
Not particularly. I think they're just, they have a lot going on and nobody seems to know what to do with Spider-Man. So yes. If someone can do something nice, good with him, then sure. But no one's shown that they can do anything interesting with him. So, eh.
Very accurate. All right, you can stay. And then one last tweet for this week. We posted the Fantastic Four poster, which we didn't talk about because it's so boring. It's just a poster and we don't like Fantastic Four anyway. And so didn't want to bore you guys with that. But we tweeted out and said, you know, are you guys excited for this new Fantastic Four poster? And Lauren tweeted us back and said, I was really excited for a moment. Then I realized it did not say Fantastic Beasts. So, yes, definitely. Lauren, totally agree. Okay, and finally for this week, it's time for our responses to the question of the week. Last week we asked you, are all the superhero spin-off shows becoming too much, or can you just not get enough? So, Caitlin, do you want to read out that first one?
Sure. Cassie Drake says, bring on the spin-offs. If I don't like them, I could ignore them, but I love all the options and possibilities.
Yes, so true. Okay, Amalia said, depends who is in them. Give me more ladies and I'm in, especially Sarah. I need more Sarah. Never mind the other guys.
Preach.
Yes. we totally agree. All right, what else? Nick says, as long as they are done in the same style and quality as their mother shows, then I have no problem with them. So, I mean, that's fair enough, I guess. You know, although, I don't know, like, arguably Agent Carter was very different style from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and people seem to like that. And that's sort of a spin-off. I don't know. Did you watch that, Caitlin? No, because you don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I started and then it was airing at the same time as something else that I watched, so I didn't finish it.
Yeah, you should definitely check that out. I'm sure it's was like on Netflix or something by now, surely.
No, it's not.
Oh, I don't know how Netflix works. Like, we don't have that in Australia yet. I'm just like,
we don't get
everything's on Netflix,
like,
right?
Months after they finish it.
Oh, what's even the point of that then? Well, you know, this is just my attempt to convince you to watch Agent Carter, which is fantastic and amazing. All right. Ning says, I'm just waiting for the Melinda May one. Okay, thanks, bye. Yes, I do remember we had some requests for a Melinda May spinoff a little while ago. And totally agree. Would love to see that. And Caitlin, do you want to grab the last one?
Sure. Susan Lyons said, it can be too much, but forgivable as long as it's good. And I hear that.
Yeah, I think the general consensus is make them, and then if they're bad, we just won't watch them. So, yes, we will see. I don't think she's coming back. She keeps drumming. Okay, and for this week, inspired by The Flash and everything time travel, we want to know if you could go back in time and change one major plot point or one major aspect of one of your favorite superhero TV shows, what would it be? What would you change? And I already know Caitlin's answer. It would be that Sarah would not die. And am I right?
I wrote a whole article about it. So yes.
Yes. Yes. That was a great article. We should definitely link to that. I'd probably be on board with that. But guys, like, you can't just choose Sarah's death. We've got that one covered. So think outside the box.
So covered.
Yeah. Think outside the box. Let us know on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast, in the comments on this post on hypeable.com. And we will, of course, be back in 2 weeks with another episode to read all of your responses, all of your thoughts on the latest news, and, of course, to talk about everything that is going on with Flash and Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as more episodes air in the coming weeks. So until then, I'm Marima. And if Dunya were here, she'd say, and I'm Dunya.
And I'm Caitlin.
We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye. Insert bye.
Insert bye here. I'm just not sure if she's coming back. Just waiting to see how long I can, like, draw this out for.